The song we just sang, it just dawned on me. I was sitting here and worshiping and singing out loud. And the song we just sang on the second verse says this: "You stood before my failure. You stood before my failure." I don't know about you, but I fail all the time. And to know that my Savior, the one who's perfect, who lived this amazing life, he's able to stand before God, between God and I, and to protect me from all my failures. Aren't you glad of that? That explains for me the reason why this sermon series is so important, All In, because God is all in. He loves you. That was the first sermon I preached, that God's love for you, it is unconditional. He's all in for it. That he's not holding nothing back. The second part of that, we talk about getting to know God, and the more you know God, the more you fall in love with God. And the more you fall in love with God, the more you want to follow him. So last week we talked about falling in love with God, loving God, and Trey did a great job talking about how our words and our actions demonstrate love for God. Today we're talking about following him closely. Because he stood before our failures. He erased our failures away. Wouldn't you want to follow someone who is all in for you? I do. Well, I mean, I remember, like, do you remember growing up and wanting to be like someone? Right? Who did you want to be like when you were young? Do you remember, like, oh man, I want to be like so-and-so. Maybe a sports figure. Maybe it was like a TV figure. I don't know. Maybe it was your grandpa. Maybe it was your dad. I don't know. Who do you want to be when you grew up? Do you remember wanting to be like somebody when you grew up? Do you remember who that was? I mean, I have throughout my life, I have wanted to be a lot like so many people. I remember I think it was second grade. That was this kid in my class that all the girls went to, right? I know, second grade, that's me right there, second grade, wanting girls. Couldn't get any, but hey, I'll do whatever it takes to get some. So that was this kid that was there, like, all the girls was with him, and he was funny, and everybody loved him. And so I was like, man, I want to be like this kid. Remember that? Right? I want to be like this kid. So, and here's the thing about that kid. Everything he did, he got away with it. It was like incredible, right? So one day, he got this ball, got papers and made it a ball, right? And the teacher was writing on the thing, and he threw the paper at the teacher. Everybody laughed. and you're so funny. And the teacher turns back, and who was it? Nobody said a word, right? I was like, oh man, I gotta be like that kid, So what did I do? I got the paper. As soon as I do it, guess who looks back? The teacher. And I was like, she's like, Sam, to the principal office. And I was like, what in the world just happened? I remember wanting, once I grew up a little older, I wanted to be like a soccer player. So I spent hours and hours and hours and hours just getting the ball, going outside and practicing some stuff, right? So I sacrificed a lot of things in my personal life on the things that my friends were doing or family was doing just so I would practice soccer because I wanted to be like that soccer player. As I grew older, you look at people out there and you say, man, I want to be like this and I want to be like that. And this is who I'm striving to be. Who do you want to be? Who do you strive to be like? See, this is the thing about us, is that we were created to imitate somebody. God in us, he created us in order to imitate somebody. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 27, I have it up there for you. God created us in a way that calls for imitation. Here's what it says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, they were created. See, here's the thing. When God created us, He created us in His image. He put something in us that emulates who God is, right? We were created to be like God and to imitate God and to find ways in our own personal life where God is manifested. We were created in the image of God. Image means you ought to look like somebody. Isn't that how it is? In the image of God, you were created. So we all have this urge in our hearts to imitate someone. And here's the thing, the missing link we have had for most of our lives, that we think that we ought to imitate the cool guy across the street, the successful businessman, the nice teachers or the nice ladies or the nice guys or the cute guys, right? No? No love here this morning. I gotcha. See, here's the thing. We want to imitate that which we believe is successful, but we were not created to imitate anyone but God Himself. We were created in the image of God. So when we don't do that, we feel that our lives are not fulfilled. Our lives is not fulfilled. So we have this unfulfilled life because we are trying to do things that everybody else is trying to do. And we are finding ourselves like missing something in our lives. Have you ever been there missing something in your life? We start imitating people and as they fail, we fail. And we start to question ourselves. We start questioning, so what am I here on earth for? So we were created to imitate God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul tells us this. Be imitators of Christ as beloved children. See, when we're talking about imitating God, it's like, how is that, Sam? God is like, we can't see God, right? If we don't know how He is or how He is like and He's invisible, we usually follow something that we can see. And here's the great thing about God. God knew that also. Therefore, He sent Jesus to live life on earth and to go through all the things we will go through in life so to give you a pattern by which you can imitate God. There's no way out, is there? You're created to imitate God. And when you thought I got a way out, I don't know how to do that, God, because I can see you. God was like, don't worry about it. I am going to send Jesus for you so that you have a pattern by which you can follow. Be imitators of Christ. So we have this urge in us to imitate someone because we were created by God to imitate God, to be like Him, to be His image. And since we didn't have that pattern, God sent Jesus in order to show us what it means and what it looks like to imitate God, to be in the image of God and to be like God. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, knowing of all of that, knowing that what it is required of us, and knowing what God has made us like, he said it on chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. He said this, is the passage for today, okay? It is I'm going to spend all morning talking about this passage. We're not going to go anywhere. This is it right here. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, at the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. I want to start right here. Wait a sec, right here. Okay, I don't have time to explain all of this to you. This verse, this last verse, but I tell you truly that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God again. I mean, a lot of people out there have said a lot of crazy stuff about this, right? I don't know what your knowledge is of that. If you don't have any, that's great. If you have plenty, erase it. Listen to Pastor Sam. I'm not always right, but this one is a good one, okay? When Jesus was saying this, he was referring to the verses that is to follow. On verse 28, he says this. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter, John, and James to the mountain and pray. That was the passage of the transfiguration, okay, where Jesus takes his three closest disciples to the mountain, and there they experience God in a whole new level. That's what Jesus was talking about. The verses that follow when he was saying this, there is nothing to do with whatever else you have heard. Take me on that. Back to the message. Right, so Jesus, knowing that we have this need to imitate him, he goes on and professes this word. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I have a theme for you today. Here's the theme. Faith goes much deeper than just believing. See, we have been taught in the church that believing in Jesus is enough. I have to break it down for you honestly. Believing in Jesus, it is not enough. There must be some kind of way in your that God is working in your life that demonstrate that belief in Jesus. Therefore, I say faith goes much deeper than just believing that Jesus is the Christ. The proof of faith is following him. See, you can't follow Jesus without taking on his character, taking on his lifestyle, emulating him and being like him as you walk through life. See, this is an invitation of Jesus to us to follow him. And when he invites us, there must be an urge in our hearts to follow Jesus. See, this is not a command, right? To follow Jesus is not a command. It's not like he's pointing the finger at everybody and say, you follow me. No, it is an invitation. So many of us have misread this. God invites us, calls us as into an invitation to follow him. Have you ever been invited to someone's house, right? Have you ever been invited to someone's house? Let's be honest here. Like, there are some people that invite you and you're like, no, thank you. That's cool. No? Yeah, let's be honest, right? But there are some people that when they invite you, you're like, yes, let's do that. That's when I invite you guys over. Everybody wants to come. Isn't that how it goes, right? No, Pastor Sam, thank you. But that's an invitation. That's the kind of invitation that every heart can deny, though, because we were created by God to accept that invitation. A lot of us, we want to play this. A lot of people out there, Christians out there, want to say that God invites some and leaves some out. Let me tell you, that's not the heart of God. God's invitation, Jesus' invitation to follow him, it is an invitation that we all feel this urge in our hearts to follow. Do you remember the first time you heard the word, follow me, and you were like, whoa, I'm interested. I'm not so sure I want it, or I can do it, or I even believe it, but I'm interested about it. We all have got this invitation for Jesus and this calling and to follow me, and we all have that urge in our heart. So there must be an urge in your heart to follow God. God is working in your heart when you see, when you feel it on the inside, a urge to obey that which God has commanded on that process of following. I love Luke chapter 18, verses 28. On Luke 18, 28, Peter says this, we left our homes and followed you. What he's really saying is like, we felt the urge on that heart and we left everything behind to follow you. See, Jesus invites, he calls, and we answer not just with our words, but also with our actions. And that's what we see the disciple doing. They weren't just speaking it out. Yes, I'll follow you. No, they're saying like, we will follow you, and they did it. How many of us in the Christian, in the church, we say, oh, we follow Jesus, but it's all about words being spoken and not about our actions being demonstrating that. So Jesus invites us to follow, but there must be an urge in our hearts to follow Jesus. The verse Jesus starts with this little word is like this: if. If you go back to the passage, the first word on that is the little word if. Here's the thing about following Jesus. Following Christ isn't automatic. You must choose. It is a choice to follow Christ with much more than just believe, much more than with your word, but with your actions. It is a choice. See, God has granted us the dignity of something called free will. That's to say that the freedom to make decisions. We were made in the image of God, and that what God has put in us is this freedom to make decisions. Our actions are not determined in advance by God or by fate. F-A-T-E. Our actions are not determined in advance by God or by faith. No, he lets us make conscious decision. And this invitation, it is one of those decisions that we make in our lives. Are you going to respond to God with much more than just your words, but with your life, with your actions, or will you not? It is your choice. See, unlike animals, which generally act by instinct, we resemble our Creator regarding our ability to manifest the qualities such as love and justice, kindness and compassion. Just like God, we have free will. We can greatly influence our future or not. This is what I love about God, is that he created you in a way, made it the way, and gave you the choice. You either follow or not. It is on you. It is not on God. But when we elevate things to the place of God in our lives, we find ourselves being unfulfilled. Here's how it goes. Because we were created in the image of God, and the only thing that can fulfill us, it is imitating God, we start elevating people to the place of fulfillment in our lives. Isn't that how it goes? So we feel like, man, I want to be fulfilled, right? And your fulfillment is found in imitating God and being like Jesus and following Jesus. So when we don't have that fulfillment, so we start elevating some things in our lives to the place of Jesus. Might be your spouse, might be your kids, might be your job, might be your hobby. Those are all great, good things. But when elevated to the place of God in your life, it fails you. There's a breakdown. And you start to question your life. So it is a choice. If it is a choice, your choice. But I love what it says, if anyone would come after me. See, it is about you deciding that Jesus will lead and that you will follow. That's what it's all about. I love how he says, anyone. Anyone can and anyone should. It is not for just few. It is for everybody. Anyone could come after me. See, for me, there is a difference in the text, especially in the Greek, between the word come after me and follow. Coming after Jesus is like the first steps into getting to know him and the first steps into walking in his direction. Have you ever gone after something? Right? Going after a girl? We all know that, right? Guys out there? Girls knows going after a guy how it goes too. I understand that. There's all things that you go after, but you just know that if you're going to, you know, if someone stick to it when they go from coming after to following. There's a stay. There is like a journey of going from coming after, but also following. And that's why I think Jesus ends this verse with the word following, because it's like you can start the journey, but in that start, there must be some things that takes place in your life, right? You can't just start the journey and not do anything after. So he goes on and says this: if anyone would come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. The self-denial is essential for those who want to follow Jesus. Jesus invites us daily to die. Well, what does that mean, Sam? He said, listen, you need to live your life differently. Once you start coming after Jesus, there must be a different pattern of your life, because you can't go after someone and not be changed by how they live their lives, right? Great example of that, it is in my house. Laura, people who just meet Laura and I for the first time, we go out, and you know, I remember this few years ago, we were to this marriage conferences, and we were participating on that, and we met a couple, and they're like, oh, I heard you're from Brazil. I was like, yeah, I'm from Brazil. And they look at Laura's like, oh, are you, you know, we were talking, and we have a conversation. The wife looks at Laura's like, are you from Brazil too? And Laura's like, what, gee, really? I love my husband, but that's not the kind of thing, you know, I don't want to be a Brazilian, right? So the lady's like, are you a Brazilian? And she's like, no, I am not. She's like, oh, really? Because you have accent. And I was like, yes. She was like, I have accent? Laura was like, I have accent? She's like, yeah, you have accent. I was like, don't bring my accent down to the Iowa kind of accent. I don't like that. I'd rather have a Brazilian accent than have an Iowa accent. No, I'm just joking. See, here's the thing, is that once you start following someone, you start living life closely with someone, you start to take the characteristic of that person. And you know that from being married, of having, you know, the more you walk with somebody, the more those characteristics you take. So when you start to pursuing Jesus, when you start to coming after him, Jesus said, you must deny yourself. You must let go some of the things that you think it is great. And you start to taking the thing that I think it is great. He calls you to live life differently. To step out of where you are and step into this new life that Jesus himself have provided for you, for me, for us. Self-denial is to eliminate in our lives any obstacles that block saying yes to God. See, there's a lot of things in our own personal lives that blocks us from saying yes to God. What is it in your life that is keeping you from saying yes to God? Might be, I don't know, a desire that you really want. Might be, I don't know, a possession. Might be someone that is in the way between you and God. There's always something blocking you from completely saying yes to God. What is it? Here's the importance of self-denial. When my will conflicts with God's will, self-denial makes following his will possible. Jesus wants me to deny myself the right to be in charge of my life. And when we follow Jesus, we deny ourselves the right to justice in human relationships. I love those three statements. When you have this attitude of self-denying, you relinquish the rights to run your own life. You allow God to run it for you. Whoa, I don't like that, because I must be in control. So self-denial has to do with this. You have to give up control of your life and allow God to take control over it. Oh, Pastor Sam, I can't trust the guy. I trust nobody with my life but myself. Isn't that how it goes? We all know or think we know better, but then we find ourselves in complicated situations, right? And then we go crying out to God, God, take control now. Now you take the wheel. I was driving before, but I just got in a car crash, so now I need you to take over. I remember one of the first time I rode a horse. I know it's random. My uncle was like, Sam, I go in the front. I got to teach you how to do this thing. And you go, and you can sit in the back saddle. And it was with two saddles, right? And I was like, heck no. I know how to do this. He's like, no. This horse is a fast horse. I was like, I like fast. Don't worry about it. I know how to do this. Have you ever? Nope. Don't worry about it. Don't talk to me about it. I know how to do this. Okay. Help me over the saddle. Sat there. Pick up. He's like, do you know what you're doing? Like, heck yeah, I know what I'm doing. That thing was going so fast, right? Out of a sudden, I'm sideways on the thing. Right? Not joking. It's a true story. I can't make this up. Here's the thing, though. I am going. I'm not joking. I'm going, and there was a tree coming, right? And if I was on the top of the thing, that's great. But when you're in the side, you're going to hit it. So I was like, what do I do? What do I do? My uncle just says, let it go. Fall. Let it go. Fall. What did I do? I let it go, and I fell. I tell you this story because so many times in our lives, we think we can get on top of the horse, and we can go as fast as we want, while God is saying, let me go ahead with you first. Let me show you how this is done. Let me lead. You follow for a little while, and after that, you can get on the saddle because you know exactly how God lives his life, how God leads, so you'll be able to resemble and to do that which God himself has showed you how to do it. But no. You want to be like Sam. You laugh. You call me dumb. Right? Can I little jab? Sometimes we are just like Sam, dumb in life. Thinking we can be on the top of the horse, and then out of the saddle, we are on the side. And then now God comes to our rescue, and he says, let it go, let it go. Listen to me right now, because you are in trouble, so let it go, and then you let it go. Here's the fun thing about it. So I fell. My uncle came and picked me up, and I was having little scratches. He went and he put things on my wounds, and he helped me through the process of healing. But isn't that how God is with us? Right? That's how God is with us. He stands before our failures. But here's the thing. We need to choose God daily. We need to deny ourselves daily. We need to allow him to lead us on our daily basis. Daily, we need to choose God. Daily, we need to allow him to guide us, to lead us. We need to stop wanting to lead our lives because we don't know any better. And we have had examples of that in our own personal life. I can tell you all the things you have done that you have looked back and it's like, man, if I would have let God lead me, I would probably not be in that situation. Can you think of one or two? I can think of hundreds. I can tell you all the times in my life, well, that's not all, but I can tell you a lot of times in my life where I look back and I'm like, I wish I would have paying attention to God's word. I wish I would have followed Jesus' example in this specific situation. I would not be in this turmoil. So we need to choose Jesus, to choose God, to allow him to lead our lives daily. Choosing to follow Jesus involves both attitude and action. And the battle is waged every single day in our lives. Every disciple dreams of living a life with great meaning and fulfillment. Every disciple, every single individual dreams of living a life of great meaning and fulfillment that only comes when we follow Jesus closely. Pastor Sam, you talk about following Jesus. I got, how do I do that? How do I follow Jesus closely? It starts with two things. I want to tell you two things. Two things. Start by praying and by reading the Word of God. I could make a great elaboration on how to follow Jesus, but it all starts with two things, daily prayer and daily Bible reading. If you are not able to do that to start, then it gets too complicated after that. So my prayer for you this week is that you would choose to follow Jesus daily, okay? By praying daily and by reading the Word of God daily. Every day this week, I'm going to come live on Facebook, right? If you don't like church on Facebook, you should go there and like it. I'll come live every day this week. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to do that. It might be 5 in the morning, might be noon, might be 3, might be 10 at night. But I will come every day and I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to read a scripture with you. Right? There's something that we like, it's called Lectio Divina. That's what I'm going to do with you all week this week, all right? Every single day, I want to be with you as we pray together, as we read the Word of God together. That's the first step into following Jesus closely. To communicate with Him and read His Word and take it and live it out. Maybe this morning you have not followed Jesus. Maybe following Jesus close is not something that you're up to. Letting God lead my life, it is not what I want for myself, Sam. The worship team can come forward. I have not, like, taken serious this calling of allowing God to lead me. Right? I don't even know how to do that. So I pray that this week you would spend some time reading the Word of God and praying. But maybe you have never taken the first step. I'll say, listen, you want to give your life to Jesus by saying, Jesus, He's my life. Lead me and now follow. Come forward. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you haven't chosen to be baptized and to demonstrate to the world that you follow Jesus closely. That's what baptism is. It's an outward demonstration with your actions of an inward transformation. Maybe you don't have a family, a church family to follow Jesus with. See, here's the thing. You can't follow Jesus alone. We were never meant to follow Jesus on our own. That's why there is the church. Because we were meant to be together into the process of following Jesus. Maybe you're not a part of a church family. I'll say, come forward as we sing this next song. And I'll be up front. I'd love to pray with you and make that possible. So, if you haven't followed Jesus closely and you want to do so, you want to make a commitment to Him today, come forward, I'll be here. Maybe you want to demonstrate to the world that you follow Jesus closely with actions. Let's do that through baptism. I'd love to make that happen today.